That was so good. I could just sense that God's pleased with us praising him here tonight. There's hunger, you know, there's hunger. And sometimes, you know, when we haven't had something for a while, you know, and Tuesday nights we've been missing since I was thinking today, March. We have not had a Tuesday night service since March. And, you know, there's something really special about getting to come together and this sort of extra, you know, some would call it an extra service. I remember when we had some naysayers out there back in March. They said, why do people go to church on a Tuesday? Yeah. Well, because we want more of God, yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, do you go to your dinner table on a Tuesday? Like, do you eat from you know, natural food on a Tuesday? Well, then let's get together and let's have a feast on a Tuesday here, amen? Caleb said to me, what's the service called? I said, Tuesday Night Word and Spirit. That's what it is here tonight. Praise the Lord. My husband said, you could call it, does my hair look nice? Does it? No, just kidding. Oh, you know, I love how the Lord works with my husband and I and uses us as a team. You know, I came home from work today, and we were just sitting talking, and all of a sudden, I just had this unction to look up a certain scripture, and as I did, there was more connected to it, and I went into my office, and my husband came in. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting into something. I said, he said, oh, are you going to preach today? I said, maybe. I think I might be. So at about 4 o'clock, you know, the day kind of shifted, and I love that, because when my husband said we were going to start back Tuesday night, Word and Spirit, he said, I want you to come ready for anything. Yeah. Said, I want you to come ready for whatever it is that God has for us, you know. And that didn't apply to just you all. That applied to us too. What does God have for us tonight? And so I really believe that this is a word in season for a word in spirit. Amen. Yeah. And I will say this, that while we were on a vacation with my family, you know, my husband and I got up every morning and we had a good time. We had a screened-in porch that we could go and read the Word and talk about the things we were reading. And as we were there, he started getting direction for Tuesday nights, and I started hearing the words, teach about the sanctuary. Teach about the sanctuary. And so that, I believe, was the direction today, because that's where the Lord led me this afternoon. So I say that to let you know that it is supernatural when we come to church. It's not, you know, we don't go home. I didn't come home from work and try to, like, put something and force it in place. And my husband didn't say, hey, go put something in place and force it in place. It was, what does God have for us? And I really believe that that was a wonderful introduction or reintroduction to Tuesday nights. Be ready, whatever it is that God has that day. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to turn to Exodus 25. Praise the Lord. And, you know, I'm going to minister what the Lord has put on my heart, and we'll see from there. You know, I'm not here to make up anything. I'm not here to put, you know, have to fit some time frame in the clock. I'm here to preach what God has for me to say tonight. Amen. You know what's so precious? I just opened to the first page of my Bible, and I had Dear Renee, comma. I love that. Was that Pastor Webb that had us do that? Yeah. Praise the Lord. That was precious. All right. Exodus 25, verse 8 and 9 says, let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I am going to show you. Listen, as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it. Now, if we were to continue reading, this is talking about the tabernacle that God showed Moses how to build, and he gave him every single detail. Make it out of this kind of wood. Make the walls out of this. Make it this size by this size. Put in it, you know, these three different places. We've got the outer courts. We've got the holy places, right? And then we've got the Holy of Holies, right? And we could continue reading, and we can see all those specifications. Very, very, very detailed. Very specific. Very easy to understand, though, but very specific for how they were meant to build the tabernacle. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3:16. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is very clear about how he wants to do things. And that's what I wanted to show you, first part of what I wanted to show you there. Well, I believe the Lord wanted to show us. 1 Corinthians 3:16 through 17. says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." And then I wanted to quickly turn over to John. We might go back and forth a little bit. Let's go to John 2. So as I'm getting into this, my spirit's lighting up. I'm like, oh, connections there. This is good stuff we're going to get into tonight. And I really believe that it's the meat and potatoes kind of word tonight. All right, John 2:19. And I say meat and potatoes, I don't even eat meat. John 2:19-21. Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple." They're speaking building still, right? They're talking about a building still. "And you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was not speaking of buildings. He was speaking of the temple of his body. All right, we're going somewhere with this. Let's just pull up. Can you just pull up Romans 8:29? Praise the Lord. And I want to make sure that this revelation comes out the way it was put in. I'm hoping we get there. It says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." Listen, that his son Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so you're in the Bible here. You're in John 2:19. It says here that God predestined Jesus to be the firstborn among many brethren. Everybody say, "I'm many brethren." Jesus was the firstborn among us. And you know what that includes? He was speaking, John 2:21, he was speaking of the temple of his body. See, God intended that our bodies would be a temple. And you're like, "Well, I've heard this before." Yes, but what I want to really dig into tonight is the idea of this sanctuary, the tabernacle, the temple being us, his body, just like Jesus was, the temple he was talking about was his body. God has very specific specifications, details about how that's meant to be built, what materials are meant to be put in there, how the specifications, how it's organized, how it's ordered, all those things. God still has a very specific plan for his temple today and his sanctuary today. Amen. And that's what we're going to get into. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. Praise the Lord. Love the word. Love what God wants to do in us through his word. You know, he's very, very clear. We just have to get in there. We just have to take time, right? Praise the Lord. I said here, you know, or I was thinking about this today, you know, it was almost like the Lord gave me, with that word, you know, sanctuary this afternoon, it was almost like he gave me this little X on the map, the treasure map. He's like, that X marks the spot. So if you go to that X and you get in there and you dig, you're going to get the treasure that was meant to be found there. Yeah. I really feel like this is that kind of a message. Like we're digging up the treasure at the X marks the spot. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:16. "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people.' Therefore," listen to this part, "come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You are the temple of the living God." God said, "I will dwell in them. I will walk with them." He wants us to be right there with him, living together. He wants to make his dwelling place us. We are his temple. We are his sanctuary. And you can say, "Well, we can all go home right now. I'm the sanctuary. Why am I here?" Nope, there's more to it than this. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to go to a familiar scripture. Let's go to Romans 12. Praise the Lord. God speaks a lot about this in his word. You know, there's things for us to understand. He wants us to understand, and he made it really easy for us to understand if we're willing to dig at that X. All right. Romans 12:1, it says, "I beseech you, Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Remember, come out from among them and be separate. Don't touch what is unclean. You present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, holy like a temple and a sanctuary ought to be, right? Acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable. It is reasonable for us to live right. It is reasonable for us to look at ourselves as holy. If I wouldn't do something with Jesus sitting next to me, I shouldn't do it because Jesus lives in me. Amen. We are meant to preserve that holy place. Praise the Lord. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We must be renewed or transformed by the word. We must be patterned after the word, right? When God created this pattern that Moses was meant to follow to build the tabernacle, to build the original sanctuary, God didn't just say, it matters to me how a building is built. It matters to me how specific I get with the walls of a building. Remember when Pastor Noel Ramos was here and he was preaching about the walls made of gold, the nails made of pure gold? God didn't just do that for a building, right? A building meant something to him, but us and how we're fashioned and how we're created and what goes into us means even more, way more to him. Praise the Lord. It says we need to be renewed or transformed by the word. I want to pull up John 1:1, Caleb 1:1 and 2. It says, in the beginning was the word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Keep going. He was in the beginning with God. Who is the Word? Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. And it says the Word is Jesus, right? The Word is Jesus. So everything that Jesus is, we find it in the Word. Everything, every characteristic, every pattern, every detailed specification of how Jesus built his temple on this earth, of who he was, it's all in the Word. The Word describes it perfectly for us. Every detail of Jesus and how he built the temple, himself, is in the Word. In the Old Testament, God gave Moses very specific directions on how to build the tabernacle. He wanted it just so. When he sent Jesus to this earth in the New Testament, he was giving Christians directions on how to build the tabernacle, and he wants it just so. Amen? All right, let's go to John 4. I am getting through this quick, I think, because I'm just so energized by the revelation of God. There's just unction when the word speaks and jumps out of the pages to you. I hope we're all getting this. Praise the Lord. John 4. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm excited. I love the word. I love when, you know, because people could accuse somebody who's like naturally a teacher of just kind of coming up with a sermon, you know, just like, oh, you could put it together in the dark, no one, you know, and no one would ever know. Well, no, that's not true. You know, there's something really different about when there's unction there, when there's revelation, you know, and I just am thankful when that happens. I'm thankful when sometimes, and I shouldn't probably say this, but I'm thankful sometimes when I'm thrust into it and I didn't have 2 weeks to prepare, you know, because it just shows me that God is working there and revealing things to me. Okay, John 4:23 says, but the hour is coming. Oh, this is the good stuff. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. In spirit literally means like the same spirit as the Holy Spirit, okay? In spirit, it's talking about not, oh, you know, we're just thinking about God when we worship him. No, it means to worship in the spirit, that Holy Spirit that has been put on the inside of us. It means when we worship God, we need to do it by direction of the Spirit, in tune with the Spirit, according to who we know God's Holy Spirit to be. It is not just man-made worship, right? We cannot truly worship God, not fully, oh, listen, if we don't subscribe to that Spirit stuff, right? I didn't say that we can't get saved if we don't believe in the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, praying in other tongues. I didn't say that that's our qualification to get to heaven. People will accuse churches like ours of saying that kind of thing, but I didn't say that. I said true worshipers who really want to bless God, who really want to know God, who really want to reverence God the right way, will reverence him, will worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? The word says that God is looking for true worshipers, and the first indicator the word uses for a true worshiper is one who worships in the spirit. Let's look at Romans 8. Hallelujah. We're getting somewhere with this. Hallelujah. Spirit and in truth. Anybody want to be a true worshiper?
Yes.
When you go to the Father, do you want him to know you mean it, that you're sincere, that you love him, that you want what he has for you, that you believe in what he has for you? Romans 8:26. Oh, I love this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He's speaking of praying in other tongues. You know, when we are filled with the Holy, been baptized with the Holy Spirit, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Evidence of that is praying in other tongues, is speaking this heavenly language to the Lord. And it says here that we, as humans, we have such a limited understanding. You know, we don't know everything, but we do know this. God does. And we purpose to go to him. When we purpose to go to him in the Spirit, then we know that when we do that, it's not superficial. It's not some weird thing. It's going to him in spirit saying, Lord, I don't know what to pray for as I ought, but you can help me. You can help me with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Intercession means literally he stands in the gap. The Holy Spirit will stand in our gap between us and the Father, or between us and our lack of knowledge of the Father, I should say. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. See, a lot of people use that scripture, but they leave out all the scriptures before it. I've seen this in like on like doilies, pillows, like, you know, people will post this little, this part of this set of scripture on, you know, a poster or something like that, a greeting card. For all things work together for the good. Yeah, but did you notice what just came through before that? That's through his spirit. That's with the gift of the Holy Spirit given to us, so that when we don't know what to do, when we don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit helps, makes intercession for us. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according, the called according to his purpose. For he, whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be, listen to this, conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, Moses was given this very specific pattern on how to build the sanctuary, how to build the tabernacle. Jesus was given very specific directions of how to live his life. He lived his life, and it was recorded in here. And it says here that we have been predestined to be conformed to Jesus. Well, how did God give us all those specifications to conform our lives to Jesus? Right here, the Word. So if we stick with the Word, if we trust in the Holy Spirit, then we will know exactly how to build our lives, amen? Exactly how to build the temple, a place that God can consider holy, that he can dwell, amen? In truth literally means in harmony with the fully revealed and attested truth, not in fallacies, controversies, ceremonies, rituals, or offerings, but in the truth. Amen. We don't put our trust in and we don't rely on any traditions, any rituals, any kind of ceremonial things. We rely on the truth. There's a reason we don't have a denomination on our sign. It's because we just want everybody who comes here to know that our goal is and will forever be, as long as we have this church or as long as we have breath, to follow the Word as closely as possible. We want to follow God's pattern, right? I mean, Moses could have come back and he could have built a temple that was different. They could have built a temple that was not the way God intended, it wouldn't have been blessed. It wouldn't have served the purpose like God wanted it to serve. We can do the same thing. Christians do it all the time. They don't follow the pattern or the specifications of the word. They wonder why their life doesn't look like it's supposed to look. They wonder why, you know, this Christian thing just seems like this social club that they show up to, or this ritual, or this kind of tradition that they follow. Because if we don't follow this, if we don't follow the word closely, if we don't look in there for the details, what's the measurement? What am I supposed to do here? You know, how do I measure this out? What do you want me to build this with? You know, I think of it as like a parent, we're building our kids all the time, right? We're putting things into them, we're building them up. We hope that when we finish building them up, that they end up being, you know, what we wanted them to be or what God wanted them to be. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you might mess up in an area and you can repair it later. Anybody own a house, right? It might not have been built perfect the first time, but we can go in and we can repair things if we have to. God is merciful in that way. But what I'm saying is God looked at us the same way. He's like, I have this pattern, this very specific thing I want to do and how I want to do it in all my people, all my children. And he just hopes that we follow that. John 17:17, Jesus says in that, he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth, right? So we know that God's intention was that his word would sanctify or purify us, cleanse us, right? Another word would be consecrate us. You know, a consecrated thing is a holy thing. God's word was meant to consecrate us, to help make us holy. And you're like, I'm human, I can't be holy. Yes, we can. God calls us holy. God expects us to be holy. We might mess up, but we can get back. You know, we can always get back. I think of, you know, in the Old Testament, the original tabernacle, that original sanctuary, the temple, there was this place. It was the Holy of Holies, right? And one time a year, the priest, the high priest, got to go into that Holy of Holies and make atonement, right? Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Every year, you know, they got another chance at it. They weren't perfect, right? We get another chance. The word says his mercies are new every morning. So don't get in this thing where I haven't been holy, I guess. My shot's blown. No, he says his mercies are new every morning. But we can't use that as an excuse, right? All right. Let's look at verse 18. I guess I should have told you to turn there, John 17, but that's okay. If you are there, great. If not, you can listen or we can keep going. All right, it says, as you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, oh, I love this. For their sakes, Jesus is saying this. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus' prayer for us is that we would be purified and consecrated, but he didn't just leave it at a prayer. He said, for their sakes, I'm going to be the example. For their sakes, I'm going to do what I expect or what you expect them to do. Isn't that awesome? He said, for their sakes, for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus said, I sanctify myself for their sake, so they can also be sanctified. He knew he was our pattern, right? And that he knew he was the pattern of the New Testament temple. He knew that. His body is a temple. He said that, right? He was going to be the first one born among many brethren. The first temple in human form was Jesus, but we were meant to be that afterwards. And so Jesus said, anything I expect them to do, I'm going to be the pattern of that. I'm going to be the example of that. My gosh, Christians could learn something there. If we want the world to look different, then we've got to be the pattern of that. We've got to be the example of that. The temple was not meant to be in one specific location. You know why? Because the Great Commission. Because Jesus said, go out into all the world and preach the gospel, right? Into the uttermost parts of the earth. But if we don't look like the temple of God, if we don't look like the Holy of Holies, if we won't sanctify ourselves by the truth according to his word, then how are we going to reach that world? You know, we can complain about the world all we want. We can criticize the news, the governors, the presidents, you know, the people who are rioting, all these things. We can complain about it. We can criticize it. But what do we look like when we go out there? Are we different? Are we different? Are we peculiar people? Are we separate? Amen? All right, let's turn to John 14. It's just a few pages back. Praise the Lord. John 14. verse 15 here. Says, if you love me, keep my what? Yes, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Who is that? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Jesus said when he was leaving, don't worry, I am going to leave you another helper, one that who will live with you, reside with you, be with you. We will not leave you orphans. You are not fatherless. You are not lost in this world. You are not abandoned. You have been given the word, and I am giving you the Spirit, right? The word and the Spirit together, and oh my gosh, you can build that temple. You can do everything God has for you to do because you've got both. It's a surefire way. It's like foolproof. Foolproof. You got the word. It tells you what to do. You got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. It's foolproof. You can be a fool because God's got you covered. Amen. He's got a backup plan. Not that the Holy Spirit is a backup plan, but the Holy Spirit was the surefire way, the no-fail system. I'm going to get my people into heaven. I'm going to get my people to know how to be the temple, how to live holy, how to live righteous, how to reach the world, so that, you know, I'm not willing that any should perish. So I want my temples to be effective. I want my church to be effective. Amen. Amen. So we say, well, why does all this matter? You know, why does all this matter? Why are you even telling us this? We're sitting in church. Why are you telling us that the temple's us, not the church building? Because if we want to truly come together and bless God, we want to come together in spirit and in truth. So we need to understand the heart of the Father. We need to understand who we were intended to be. I think we just wake up sometimes and we just know that we're like a Christian going to heaven. We might go on social media and see this like sweet Bible verse and we like it. We're like, I'm a Christian. I like that stuff. Yeah, but that's not all Christianity is about. Yeah. It's not all about liking that stuff or donating that dollar at, you know, the buying a sucker for a kid in line or paying for someone's groceries even. That's not all Christianity is about. It's about what is our heart? Is our heart to be holy? Is our heart to be a place, a safe place that others can come and they can receive the word of God from us? My husband's been talking about we're all ministers. We're all called to minister to somebody. But we've got to get our foundation and our walls secure, so to speak, before we can be those ministers to other people. We are his temple. We need to learn to be holy. We need to learn to follow his Spirit and worship him in spirit and truth. I believe this is the important truth the Lord wants to get over to us tonight. And I also believe that this is meant to set the course for Tuesday nights. And my husband has been speaking about that he knows the direction is to let the Holy Spirit lead. He knows the direction is to teach how to worship, God's people how to worship. And, you know, he's been, this was stirring in him when we were in Maine and New Hampshire on the border. We didn't know whether we were in Maine or New Hampshire every day. We're like, now wait, welcome to Maine, welcome to New Hampshire. I thought we were there. Anyway. My husband was picking this up. I got it. This is the direction for Tuesday nights. And as he was saying that, I was hearing at the same time teach about the sanctuary. And I believe that the Lord was revealing to me before service tonight that this message here, if we would grab hold of it, would set the tone for Tuesday nights. That when we come together, that we'll be ready for whatever it is that God has for us, for whatever the leading is of the Holy Ghost, for whatever God wants to get over to us. There. I love this group. I was so excited to see the number of cars here out there when we pulled up, just knowing people were hungry. But I'll tell you, we can be hungrier. And I believe that this message will set us up to do that if we take heed to it. Hallelujah. Let's go to Hebrews 10:19. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're worthy, Lord. Hebrews 10:19. Praise God. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. Remember, he sanctified himself so that we could be sanctified. He consecrated and offered himself up, you know, so that we could be consecrated, that we now have the access every day to the Holy of Holies. You know, I have this written down here. The Holy of Holies was entered once a year by the high priest on the Day of Atonement to sprinkle the blood of sacrificial animals. But by the blood of Christ, the least saint can have daily access. Everybody say daily access. Daily. Every day. We don't have to wait for once a year. We don't have to let somebody else go to God for us. We have daily access to God. Daily access. To the most holy place in heaven, we have daily access. We have access through our born-again spirit, right? All right, let's keep reading. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Remember, Jesus was the blood sprinkled for our atonement, once and for all, right? Once and for all. Let us hold fast, that means to remain tightly secured or fixed to, the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. This says we must have immovable, unshakable faith, and our confession must line up. You know, the word says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can know where somebody's faith is by the words that are coming out of their mouth. And so we want to make sure that we have immovable, steadfast, securely fixed faith and trust in God and on our confession, okay? Our confession should be one that professes the hope, the true hope of the gospel. That's what we should be professing out of our mouths. And here we go, okay? So a lot of times we might read this next part of this set of scriptures, but we don't read what comes first. But I just want to refresh your memory, just kind of rephrase what we just read. We have access every day to the most holy places in heaven, right? And with that access, we are also told and commanded to have the utmost faith and trust in the truth, right? We listen, when you have had somebody who is just, my kids, okay? My kids trust me, I would say 100%. I don't think my kids have any ounce of distrust in me. I really can say that pretty securely. I don't believe my kids have 1 ounce of negative faith in that I'll do what I said I'm going to do. And why is that? Because I've done everything for them. I've poured out everything for them. And so when somebody has poured out everything for you, then you trust them. You learn them. You know them. Yeah. Jesus has poured out everything for us. God poured out everything for us. We have no reason to doubt him. Not 1 ounce of doubt should be in us about God, because we know we can trust that he's done everything for us. Amen? And so we need to make sure that our confession lines up with that. But how we do this is where we get into the next part of the scripture. How we keep that confession right, how we keep that trust fixed, is this next part. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So we are now the temple. We must worship God in spirit and truth. We must hold fast the confession of that truth and really our faith of that truth. And we do all this by not forsaking the assembling together of the brethren. We can keep that fixed because we come here to hear the word. We can keep that fixed because God set some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what? For your equipping, really? For your building up of your faith, for your ability to hold fast to that confession. And so when we come here, when we come to the holy place of his sanctuary, when we bring ourselves here, it's like we get injected with everything we need to go out and live out there. We get our walls fortified. We get the wires twisted and hooked back together, right? We get everything fixed and ready, and this is the place where we get our tune-up, right? This is the place we get our tune-up, and this is why we need to be in church. This is why we need to be connected to a local church. We can hear all this. We can be the temple of God. We can know that the word is our pattern. But we also cannot ignore at the same time how much the Lord says about being planted by the rivers of living water. He talks about being assembled together. He talks about that your pastor and that these fivefold ministry offices will build you up and equip you, right? But also notice the second part of this that says exhorting one another. Another way that we stay securely fixed in our faith is we exhort, we build up, we edify others. You know, over the quarantine, there were a lot of people who really spoke up about how much they missed seeing people. You know, seeing people, seeing their brothers and sisters was important to them, and they realized it more and more as time went on during this kind of quarantine. And then our parking lot started to be like everybody's talking to each other from the windows. And I also noticed that a lot of people made connections other than when they get to sit in church. You know, they exchanged phone numbers or they stopped by and brought a meal to somebody's house. And they found ways to connect with their brothers and sisters. That is huge. You don't get to talk to us every day. Not most of you, right? Some of you do. It would be weird if I didn't talk to my kids, right? But you don't get to talk to us every day, but you could talk to somebody. You could encourage somebody. Somebody else could reach out to you. And this wasn't in my notes, but I just encourage you to do that. Make connections. We are not this, like, I'm not an island coming into this church. We are not the Thousand Islands. We are one group, one body of believers. We're meant to be connected. So I don't know why that came up, but I encourage you. If someone in this church has been here for some time and they don't have anybody else's number in the church, they don't know anything about anybody else in the church, that's a problem. We've got to know people. We've got to connect. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. So coming here is where we are strengthened, where we get our faith fixed. And you get your faith fixed in the faith fix, too, if you read it. It is here that we get our shoelaces tied. We get the screws in our decks tightened. This is the place we get our directions on how to unfold the pattern that is his word and that is meant to be us. Amen? Let's go to Psalm 51:10. We cannot do all this without coming with the right heart. And I know my husband has been talking about that. Specifically, he said, you know, on Tuesday nights, don't even come unless you're going to come with the right heart. Because we want to make sure that we're effective. So we want to come together effectively. And so we have to do that with this idea and this understanding that we all must come the right way. I love this scripture here. And this is a really good confession for you to write down and just speak over your lives. Psalm 51:10, it says, create in me a clean heart. That's a consecrated one. That's a holy heart, right? That's sanctified. Lord, create in me a sanctified heart, a clean heart, a holy heart, right? Oh God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Well, how is a clean heart created? That's through the word, right? And a steadfast spirit, right? I believe that that's really connected to this. True worshipers must worship God in spirit and in truth. We got to worship him with a clean heart, with a truth inside of us, and with a steadfast, immovable, incorrupted spirit of faith. Amen? That's the right heart. That's the right heart we need to come with. Amen? All right, so let's look at Ephesians. Let's just pull it up here. This is something else we need to also remember. So a good scripture for you to just know about yourself. It says Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He set up the pattern. He set up the plan. He had it prepared ahead of time that we should walk in it. We look at Jeremiah 29 all the time. We have it on our wall, 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. What? Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. He's got a plan. He's got a pattern. He's got something for us to do. We've got to remember that. We are his workmanship. We've been bought with a price. We are not our own. We don't belong to us anymore. We don't get to destroy our body. We don't get to defile our minds. We don't get to just do whatever we want. We live according to a pattern. If we want to be true worshipers, we will live according to that pattern. Amen? I want to encourage you here all tonight, that this is the heart of Tuesday night, that when we come knowing that when we come here, we are getting this equipping. We are getting this tweaking. We are getting what God wants for us to get that night. Whatever he has, Lord, whatever you have, Lord, put it in us on Tuesday nights. I mean, yes, we're going to get it on Sundays. Yes, we are. But this is the extra. This is us saying, I know I worked all day. I know I'm tired. I know I already came to church on Sunday, but I want more. I want what you have for me. I don't want to just quit there. I don't want to just quit with, you know, the basics. I want to build and build and build. I want you to renew that steadfast spirit in me. I want you to build me to be the temple you want me to be. Spirit and truth, true worship, building true sanctuaries after his pattern, learning from his example. We ought to look at Tuesday nights as an exciting time that we really get to come and hear from God. I just can't wait for all that God wants to do here. You know, if God wants us to worship him the whole time, we'll worship him the whole time. If he wants us to pray together the whole time, we'll pray together the whole time. If he has for me to minister a word, I'll minister it. If he has my husband to minister a word, he'll minister it. If he has for us to do a little bit of everything, we'll do it. Whatever, God, you want for us. Because we do not want to play church. We don't want to be a church that is weak. We want to be a strong church. We have recognized in this whole last 6 months that the world needs the church. And so we've got to get that church built up so we can go out there and we can change the world. Hallelujah. Mark 7:7-9. We do not want to be stuck in a box. And I'm going to end with this set of scriptures. My husband might have something, but I'm going to end here. It says, "And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do." He said to them, "All too well, you reject the commandments of God that you may keep your tradition." Church is not meant to be a tradition. You're not meant to come here and know exactly everything that's going to happen every single time you come. It is not meant to be the same exact scripted performance of a minister. I'm not saying how the churches are. Some people don't have revelation of this yet. But this place is meant to be God's ground, God's direction, whatever God wants to do. And we are going to be that church. Amen. We're going to be that church who does whatever God has for us to do. We will not get stuck in a box, but it starts with us as individuals. It starts with us coming here right. It starts with us with the right revelation of who we are and who we were meant to be. Amen. And so I believe that we got something out of that. I just am so thankful for what God wants to do. Do you have anything? Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Good. Praise God. Hallelujah. What my wife didn't tell you is that when she came home, I came home just a few minutes later. I went out for a drive just to seek the Lord, and I was out, and I spent most, probably a good portion of the day in prayer, and I got home a little bit like in the, you know, in my flesh a little bit like, well, that seemed kind of pointless. I was out there all day, and I don't even have a message, because as I came through the door, she said, "Do you have?" She said, "What?" Or basically, something like, "What are you preaching on tonight?" I said, "I had no idea, you know." So I still didn't know, but she's right. There was some things, you know, the Lord had for her that to minister that were bringing us in the direction of what we're going on Tuesday nights. And as she was ministering, you know, there was something. I want you to turn back to Hebrews 10. You put the clock down, so I don't know how much time I have left. Well, I want to see, like, I want to try to keep it in range. Yeah, there we go. Praise the Lord. Because we didn't even go to a full Pastor Jeff service yet, so glory to God. Praise the Lord. So go back to Hebrews 10:24. Praise God. Hallelujah. But there's some direction. You know, the Lord's been leading me on a lot of things. I've actually been going through a really interesting time in the last few months. And one of those things is kind of rebuilding and rethinking a lot of what I thought I knew, amen? And a lot of things that I thought I was founded on. And so some of the things the Lord's been dealing with me is looking into those things and seeing which of those things are scriptural, which of those things are not, which, you know, things are ideas of man. Because you know that no church is going to have it perfect, right? Nobody's going to get it perfect. And as we grow, we learn. You know, certainly you know more than you did when you were 10 years old, and hopefully you act differently than you did when you were 10 years old. Unless you're less than 10 or 10, then you're good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But Hebrews 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And so we see there, of course, it talks about stirring up. And, you know, we have to keep in mind that these scriptures aren't written to pastors. You know, we have to get past this idea that, you know, that we just come to church to hear a pastor. Yes, we come to hear the pastor. But what we come partially for is to receive direction for our lives. And the direction for your life isn't just, well, what kind of car should I go buy? What kind of house should I go look at? Where should I live? Because all of that stuff will be found in the plan of God. That stuff will just all come about as you follow the plan of God. He will just let you know. You don't even have to seek it. It's really easy. Praise the Lord. But see, a lot of people have looked at these scriptures and they think, well, we're stirring up stuff for ourselves, but that's not what it is. It's talking about good works, stir up love and good works, which was also mentioned there in Ephesians. But in verse 25, this is what I wanted to bring out to you because, you know, so often we look at this as just being in church. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, that word forsake means to abandon or to leave helpless. You can forsake in your heart, though the body is present. And we have to understand that just because you're present, just because you showed up, doesn't mean that you haven't forsaken the assembling together of the brethren. Because we assemble for a purpose, and we're going to get there in a minute, but we have a purpose for assembling. And that purpose isn't just to get fixed. Now, initially when you come in, we come in to get fixed, we come to get helped, we come to get blessed, amen, because we're seeking those things in our lives. But at some point, very soon after we come in, we need to graduate into another level. We need to move into something else. And this is a problem, a serious problem in Christianity that I see that probably most of Christianity doesn't ever graduate into. They never graduate into real good works, amen? Now, so we assemble together in order for good works. And now I want to bring up something to, well, before we do that, let's turn to Romans 8:14. What a lot of scriptures tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans 8:14. And actually, at one point, my wife's sermon, I thought she was going here. Because this, again, is just incredibly important for us to understand. Now, this is a scripture, again, we know very well, but let's look at it differently a little bit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. What I want to ask you is this. Was the Holy Spirit promised to just pastors? Was he promised to just teachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles? No, the Holy Spirit's been given to us all. And the Bible says here that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So in other words, we've been brought together to learn about being led, but to also act on being led. That we need to learn how to be led, that we shouldn't just continually be Christians who just come hear the word. Now, coming and hearing the word is imperative to our lives. The direction from the pulpit is imperative to our lives. I learned that in my own life, and hopefully that most of you have learned that in your lives. But we need to come together to be led. Partially to learn to be led, but then we need to be people who are led. And those are people who are willing to go. Remember, even on Sunday, I was talking about how being led, you have to purpose to be to follow a leading. Amen. That a leading doesn't just a guide doesn't force somebody by gunpoint to go somewhere. That you have to purpose to be led. But now, what I want, I'm going to have Caleb bring up, and this is something I was studying out earlier today, and I wasn't sure why. And of course, here's the reason: Ephesians 4:12. But bring it up in the Amplified version, Caleb. Praise God, hallelujah. And we look at the scripture often, but I don't think I've ever preached on it from the Amplified version. But this, of course, is talking about that my wife had mentioned, you know, in verse 11, he talks about the gifts, the different ministry offices. But he goes, here it says, his intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints. Now, if you were sent out to do a job by your boss, and you didn't get the equipment that you were supposed to do, you wouldn't be able to be effective at doing the job. But we have to understand that part of coming together is just this, is the full equipping of the saints. This is where we get equipped, but you don't get equipped to just go home and sit. You don't get equipped to just go home and, you know, just build your own kingdom or your own household or anything like that. You know, there's a lot of people that have approached me, and I remember approaching my pastor once with the same heart about, you know, what's the church doing? What are we doing as a church? Are we, you know, what are we doing in the community? And these are questions we should ask ourselves. But see, the thing is that what's being done in the community isn't my job to make you go do. Praise God, hallelujah. It's our job to do it. We come to get equipped to go do that thing. And it says his consecrated people, and that's us, right? Amen. That they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, which is the church. You notice that Christ's body doesn't get built except through the ministering of the saints. It's not my ministry. My ministry equips you to build the body of Christ. And this is a disconnect that the body of Christ has been in for so long, and that I've noticed is that people aren't being equipped to go out and be the body in the world. They think, well, if somebody's going to minister out here, it's going to be my pastor's job or something else. But that couldn't be further from the truth. My job as a pastor is not to go out and pastor them. Do you know that? My job as a pastor is not to go pastor the world. That's not my job. My job is to pastor you. Your job is to minister to the world. And this is the difference a lot of times that people have laid down. They think, well, you're in the ministry, so you should do that. My job is the equipping of the saints. That's what I do. When we have ministry offices come in, that's the equipping of the saints. You know, I wanted to use this example. You know, Justin's here tonight. Of course, Justin and Amy are very faithful in to their pastor, and they're also faithful to us. They've helped us so much. I mean, Justin volunteered and did so much work in this building, even though he wasn't even a carpenter or anything, but he learned a lot of stuff doing it. But you know, one of the things that I love about them is their fervor and their hunger for the Lord. And one night, of course, Justin recently ministered in this pulpit, and I had that purposefully, but also there's something I wanted to bring up about that to just show you a part, to give you an understanding of something. Justin isn't currently a pastor. Now, you know, many of us believe that he is, praise the Lord, but he's not currently standing in that office. But you know, neither is his wife. They don't stand in any kind of ministry office. But one of the interesting things about them is one night we were in Corey, at the Corey Church, and this new family came in. This was just not too long ago. This was just before he pastored, I think, or ministered here, right? Or right around that time, and it was just after, something like that. But they just happened to go down to Corey. They just wanted to go down there, you know. They like, their hearts are with the family churches, and so they pray for the churches, and they help whether they can and stuff like that. But they went to Walmart, they decided to go down to Corey, amen? And they walk into Corey, and into the Corey Walmart, and Amy notices this family, what's that? A mom that's there, and her heart was just drawn to her. And you know, they went and ministered to that family. The very next week, they were in church. Now, you think about that. How many people, like, in this church have ever brought anybody? And maybe over the years you brought somebody. But think about it. They don't even go to that church. And in one trip to Walmart, being open to the Spirit and being Spirit-led, because that's something they know about, that they were led to minister to somebody, and it brought that family into church. Amen? Now, you think about that. That is what the ministry, that's what that's for. Amen. I think about when I was first coming to Family Church, and the excitement and the hunger that was in me for discovering these things that I had never heard before. Now, I'm going to bring up a connection and a point that's very pertinent here, because many of you have come in and gotten that same excitement, that same hunger. And you think, well, what can I do in the world? I work this job. I worked in a factory. But you know, every single day I go back to every Monday after Sunday, at least I would go back with my notes from the Sunday service, and I would sit there at my first break and I would read it. And then there was opportunity, the Lord opened opportunities for me to just talk about my faith. And I did so fervently. I did so with a lot of hunger and desire, not desiring to be a minister, not desiring to be a pastor at the time. I had no idea. In fact, I was pretty sure that I couldn't be, wrongly. I was in my mind, you know, in some wrong teaching, bad doctrine that I got. I thought that it wasn't even possible. But I just knew I had a love for the Lord, and these things that I was getting, I needed to share them. And see, this is where a lot of people make that disconnect. If you come in and you started getting hungry and things started changing, you need to do something with that. Because if you don't, God didn't give you his spirit so you could squander it on nothing. And I'm not rebuking you. I'm trying to encourage you that this is the direction that we want to go. On Tuesday nights, we want to focus more on being people, coming in with the expectation that they're getting equipped to go do the ministry. That we're going to be, people come on Sundays, sometimes they come on Sundays just to get their help, that's fine. That's fine if people come to get their help, but we need to start coming with a greater expectation that God wants to move on us and that we're going to take those opportunities. Maybe it'll be in the grocery line, maybe it'll be in Walmart, maybe it'll be at our job, maybe it'll be our next door neighbor, who knows, but we need to start having this hunger and allow this hunger to grow in us. Amen. Did we finish that scripture? I'm not sure if we did. Pull it back up. Ephesians 4:12. Yeah, for the ministering towards the building up of Christ's body. So many people are seeking so many things, and their answer is found in doing the work of the Lord. I have found the more that I am in the work of the Lord, the more God has blessed me. And the less that I was, the less I was blessed. You cannot deny that. That's one of the absolute sureties that I have learned from serving God, is that as you serve God, he blesses you more. Amen? The more that you serve God, the more. And the reason is because it means you're more connected and sold out to his plan. Amen? Now, I didn't serve this way just because I was going called the pastor, and Justin didn't either, and you won't either. Amen? Because many people won't ever be called to the ministry. Many people specifically, you know, as far as what we call the fivefold ministry or praise God, I'm not going to get into that, but that's just a different thing that I saw. You can ask me some other time. Maybe we'll talk about it. But the what we typically call the fivefold ministry, maybe we won't all be called to that, but we are all called to assist that ministry. And remember, that ministry isn't me. That ministry is part of what God is doing in any area. You know, he sets up. He sets up. It's kind of like a presidential cabinet. You know what I mean? So like whenever a president comes in, what do we know about whenever a president comes in? They usually clean house and the ones who serve them, right? They don't say, well, you know, you were the Secretary of State last time. You just be mine too. You notice they generally don't do that. They generally switch it up and stuff like that. But why do they do that? The purpose of doing that is because they want people that are going to flow with them. Well, when God connects us as a local body, he connects us with the knowledge that we can flow together. Now, I look around here and I see many different personalities, many different backgrounds, many different perspectives. But, you know, one of the things that I know is that we have a connection with each and every person who gets faithful to this church. Praise the Lord. And we can see it. There's, praise God, my wife and I were talking the other day about our sister Lisa back there. My wife said, she's like, she's just a kindred spirit to me. There's something, you know, because we're talking about how precious she is. And of course, we talk about most of you that way, if not all of you, not as specifically kindred spirits or whatever, but that was just a connection that my wife felt with her, you know, and the preciousness of her. And so, you know, God has put us together to flow together and so what I'm asking, I guess, is as we come together on Tuesday nights, let's come together with that expectation that God is going to move on us. He's going to train us. He's going to equip us. And I'm going to encourage you to do one other thing, and that's to pray for your pastor. Because as I said, I've been going through many transitional things in my ministry and in my life. Things that in some respects are very difficult for me. Things that are making me look in different directions. Not at the foundation of my faith is solid. The faith in Christ, faith in the Word. That's not what I'm talking about. but it's all the peripheral things, the way we go about doing things, being led by the Spirit, you know. And Paul asked people many times to pray for him that same way. And so I encourage you to pray for me that same way, that we would be led and that we would have the direction of God. And then as we come together, not just the prayer, but as we come together, come in with, if you pray that prayer, come in with the expectation that that is exactly what's going to happen. Amen? You know, I was talking to Pastor Ramos about a specific minister once that he wasn't necessarily connected to, but he is, by default, ends up in some of his meetings sometimes. And I asked him, I said, Pastor Ramos, I said, how do you bridge that gap if you don't feel like you're specifically called to follow that person, but then here they are? And he said, what I do is I pray for them before they come. And then I expect that when they get in the pulpit, that what they have is from God and for me. Amen. Now, of course, that doesn't mean you go out and follow a ministry that's wrong or off. You know what I mean? But that's one that if you don't feel, you know, like maybe we have a guest minister and you're like, well, I don't really feel connected to that particular guest minister. Well, you can pray for them and be like, you know what? When they come here, they're going to deliver exactly what I need. They're going to deliver what the body needs. Amen. It's not just what I need, but what the body needs. Amen. And so let's go forward with that focus. Let's go forward with that hunger. And, I'm open to the flow of the Holy Ghost. I'm open to what God wants to do. There's some things in our camp. I'm just going to put this out there like this. There's some things even in our camp that we don't do. Praise the Lord. Some things that we do differently, that we might do differently than even our camp, because I'm open to the flow of the Holy Ghost. If it's in the Word, if I see it in the Word, praise the Lord, and the Spirit moves on me to do it, then I'm going to follow that plan. Because above all things, first and foremost, my purpose is to follow the Lord, is not to follow man. Amen? Now, God connects us where He connects us for good reason and purpose. And we need to appreciate and love those connections, which I do. But I'm just saying that as a pastor, I know that I'm at a place where I have to make sure that I'm doing everything that's in my heart to do. Not that I wasn't anyways, but you understand what I mean. That going forward, I'm going to make sure that I'm following that I'm following God wherever that will take us. And I have been open to the Lord to go wherever that has us go. Amen. So I think that's a good place to end. Let's be stirred up. Let's be hungry. Let's remember that we have a part to play in the ministry and for the building of the body of Christ. And we're going to walk that out, and we're going to be blessed as we do. Amen.